Coloc.
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 Eccoci tornati su Colloqui in Radio, puntata numero 2, da Bruxelles, Francesca Chiacchio
e Michela Sacchetto, Bruxelles dove fa un freddo terribile. E siamo qui per presentarvi Colloqui in Radio, che è un progetto che invita ad ogni puntata due artisti a sperimentare una conversazione nello spazio radiofonico. E questa seconda puntata vi presenteremo il colloquio tra Anna Hildebrand e Saga Zerdottir.
E ricordiamo che questa puntata sarà riascoltabile o ascoltabile per la prima volta in podcast sul nostro sito, che è www.colloquioproject.org.
E che sul sito troverete anche qualche informazione supplementare sul lavoro di Anna Hildebrand e Saga Zerdottir.
Anna Hildebrand è un'artista italo-svizzera che vive a periodi in luoghi diversi. E Anna, che ricordiamo si scrive con l'H, ha una pratica artistica di tipo performativo. Il suo lavoro partecipa a una lettura della realtà, dei suoi codici e dei comportamenti umani e dei luoghi, e spesso porta alla ripetizione un gesto quotidiano, estraniandolo dal suo contesto e restituendolo in modo ironico.
Saga Zerdottir è un'artista islandese che vive da circa 2 anni a Bruxelles, dove sta portando a termine un percorso formativo presso l'Accademia La Cambre, qui a Bruxelles. È un'artista che usa vari media e si esprime attraverso azioni, performance, video, in stretta relazione con un'urgenza politico-sociale legata a varie tematiche, dall'immigrazione all'ambiente. Una sua ricerca artistica è imprescindibile dal un impegno politico portato avanti nei vari luoghi in cui ha vissuto, e da alcuni anni sta sviluppando una ricerca sullo statuto dell'immaginario imposto da dispositivi pubblicitari e di marketing, e di come questo immaginario formi, non senza una certa perversione, il modo che la società ha di vedere e di percepire se stessa. Anna e Saga sono state invitate circa 8 mesi fa da noi a lavorare insieme ad un esercizio di osservazione da prima di una situazione specifica. Si trattava di un workshop di funambulismo della scuola di circo di Bruxelles, e da questa situazione specifica ha poi preso forma una ricerca legata a modi e strategie di osservazione delle persone in luoghi pubblici, e il colloquio che ascolteremo è la prima restituzione di questa ricerca.
E dopo questa esperienza del circo, Anna e Saga si sono ritrovate a Bruxelles per circa una settimana e hanno sperimentato una serie di esercizi all'interno della città. I tre esercizi che ascolteremo stasera. Il primo esercizio, che si chiama Osservazione, nel quale hanno deambulato all'interno della Gare du Midi di Bruxelles, osservandosi in un certo senso attraverso lo sguardo degli altri, osservando gli altri e registrando queste osservazioni. E in un certo senso hanno cercato di comprendere, di capire lo sguardo dell'altro e cercare di essere nello sguardo dell'altro. Un secondo esercizio è stato, si intitola Stalking, perché di stalking in un certo senso creativo ma si è trattato. Questo esercizio consisteva nel prendere un obiettivo, seguirlo. Questi obiettivi sono stati selezionati in un certo senso nella Gare du Midi, sempre, hanno seguito l'obiettivo e hanno registrato le proprie impressioni rispetto a questo gesto del seguire, ma al tempo stesso hanno anche osservato e registrato l'atteggiamento della persona sottomessa a stalking. Terzo esercizio si chiama Statistiche. Si sono sedute su una panchina nel centro di Bruxelles, hanno guardato, hanno contato, elencato, nominato, osservato le persone, appunto, di passaggio,
creando delle categorie di lettura, di attitudini e di comportamenti che hanno osservato.
Diciamo che quindi questo è il risultato di una serie di esercizi e la loro conversazione, L'opera quindi si è composta di tre passaggi. Il primo è stato quello ogni mattina di pianificare l'esercizio imponendosi delle regole, realizzare l'esercizio accogliendo l'imprevisto e trascrivere e selezionare questi esercizi, trasformandoli in una nuova esperienza viene restituita in una nuova forma di narrazione.
Sì, una narrazione cui ritorna da una parte un'analisi dello statuto dello sguardo, che a sua volta un guardare, un essere guardati, e che non, uno sguardo che nello spazio pubblico è presente a livello più o meno cosciente, come se le persone avessero interiorizzato lo sguardo dell'altro tanto da farne quasi astrazione. Da un'altra parte, nel colloquio che ascolteremo, emergono anche quelle che sono delle strategie di trascrizione in tempo reale dell'osservazione. Anna Saga, nei loro esercizi, passano attraverso vari livelli di narrazione, di descrizione, all'interno dei quali informazioni si perdono, altre si immaginano, altre sono ricostituite a partire da proprie conoscenze precedenti, altre invece si scompongono in categorie nate appunto dall'osservazione.
Direi che facciamo partire questo colloquio numero 2
Sì,
e
Anna
buon
Hildebrand e Saga Oskar Dottir.
ascolto.
During our first week of work together, we found out that we have an interest in common, which is observation. We decided to meet again for another week of work to do further observation, to make exercises of observation. That means to decide sort of instruction, to go out in a certain place, and observe.
We gave ourselves schemes of three exercises which we were interested in executing in different situations with different approaches.
Our focus was the human people. After the exercises, we would sit together and observe the result. Often by observing the result, we would understand that we would improve the instruction in another way, or for example, exchange the attitude we assumed.
We meet the 10th of September.
The first exercise was about going individually with a sound recorder in a crowded public space and walking, do recording which would describe the surrounding.
Walk around with a dictaphone in our hand, pretending to be talking on the phone and describe what we saw very instinctively and directly and with the feeling that we had.
We made the first exercise at the train station Gare de Midi. While doing it, we would explore different ways of describing.
Jacket. Woman walking with umbrella, blue umbrella.
Coming to a double hallway of waiting rooms, waiting for me on the east side. A woman passes by with a yellow suitcase. There's a green backpack along, and people moving and kind of cleaning.
Steps of boots, of leather boots,
looking at the screen.
Underfed legs in nylon collants, umbrellas, black umbrella moving rhythmically on the side of a woman with
slowly
fat
legs,
nylon collants,
leather boots, glasses, and steps on
jeans,
naked
legs, white skirt,
light arms moving, flat,
a face, perplexity
eyes
on the face,
fixed position, leg together,
jeans, steps, a bag, a hand at the phone, hand position, keeping a bag, hands crossed in front,
orange sentence, moves, crouch,
bag, girls, teenager, skinny legs, tight hands, giggling, laughing, checking at the smartphone, trolley, knee, saying yes,
seems to be cut by the red hole just beside him, looks at another man stuffing something in his pocket, and a guy slowly moves to him, back, holding onto a paper, fat, glasses, trolley.
A very, very red jacket, a very big family, many kids, all black, a small bike, this is handleable, a big amount of trolleys, so many trolleys, a big amount of people waiting, a very yellow pants, a woman with yellow jeans and yellow t-shirt and orange jacket and orange shoes with high heels meets three other women, are their friends.
Soft shoes, passing a person, passing a stepper, two straight men, businessmen looking in a direction,
naked,
close together. Screens behind them. Also,
trolley.
I was expressing thoughts and getting conclusions about the situation.
Not just humans, I see other things. I see the space, the architecture. Yeah, it's a good location because you can just walk in a circle.
I was interested in observing the aspects of people and trying to find out from that where would they come from. People belong to somewhere through their look.
Bleached hair, and the guy has a hat with some logo, and have mimetic pants and a t-shirt and big sneakers.
Was interesting also to observe body positions meaning something, especially relaxation, proudness, or waiting position.
Yeah, it's sort of like a body position which is showing that he's relaxed. Because he's, the way he walks, he's like folding his knees more, and he's having hands in the pocket.
I realized that I was very interested in observing the dynamic of looking. Who look at you when you look at them? Which places are made more for looking and which less?
Yeah, it's a good location because you can just walk in a circle. I'm walking. And I wonder if people see me, if people look at me at all. I suppose if people look at me, I suppose if people see me, they just see me with the tail of their eyes, as you would say in Italian. But surely there is always around somebody who is taking a closer look. There must be somebody who has some time to lose, some time to occupy into observation. At this point I have to confess I already encountered another interesting case, which is a man which is also looking like he has nothing to do. It's a situation usually not of looking but of fulfilling
functions or like going somewhere where you need to go. So it's not so much about looking, but for example, this man, which I'm still following, this man with hands in the pocket, this man with a relaxed air, he is quite a lot looking around, observing. Still, I cannot find out if he's looking for something or if he's just, so to say, losing time, or better, passing time.
I realize certain places, like a station, are places where people move with a certain amount of unconsciousness. And those places are good places for spies, like we were.
This is kind of interesting in this location where people seem always to know where they go. That's what makes them, in a way, less conscious of what they see. That's why it's a good place for us. It's a good place to make this exercise, because it's a place where we are kind of more mimetic.
Being in Kartimiti, it became very physical. Like, I had some kind of a reject to the exercise. I found it really difficult. I was scared of being viewed in my pervasion. And this forced me to, like, get out of my comfort zone. Looking around, trying to find a place to kind of stop, so I can analyze the situation further. Because I'm feeling a little bit... I feel strange looking at all the people. Don't seem to look at me either. Seem to be kind of... occupied by themselves, doing their daily rhythms, not looking at shops, looking at all the decoration that are offered to them, different goods. I'm a bit worried that people might look at me, and they do look at me, but at the same time everyone moves so quickly that I don't seem to notice really what I'm up to. They seem to notice maximally that I meet their eye look, they meet other people's looks.
Start looking and start kind of analyzing the place of you and the other, and place of the individual within the space, the individual within the public arena, how people are located there, and these coexisting realities where you are public but still alone, and especially in such a place where everyone's on a similar mission.
In the first position, looking the departure, looking like there's something happening, but there's nothing happening. We all have the face in the same direction. Everybody's united together in this pose.
Then another thing which I really liked was when I managed to step over the linguistical barrier. There became kind of a sudden flow, and it became even more clear for me when doing the second time, trying to repeat Hannah. Then I tried to be analytical, but I think I fell very quickly into the visual, but visual analytical, like visual description of forms, movements, gestures, and it all became like kind of a flow, as of a part of a drawing, in a way, part of a creation, a scene, a thread that was spun, kind of like it was a part of a thread that already existed, or following something already given, but by the instantaneous gesture of the physicality of the crowd, the movement of the crowd, the character of the crowd, the co-dynamic. So this was very impressive for me. It was very, very touching, kind of hypnotic. I managed to get myself into a state of meditating, state of meditation, but by meditating the crowd, the movement, I became, my senses became completely visual.
It shows most forward and leaves my vision, while other three times away, creating a star behind them, the rolling gesture of a bag, roll bag. Man with a belly that's underlined by his tie looks only to the side. He can't look forward to the side, and he sees. Then he meets an eye, and he looks down.
I was just describing what would come up to my eyes as soon as I would see it, and immediately pass to the next subject. By doing the exercise in my mother tongue, I could do it much faster.
Mentre io incrocio una ragazza vestita molto estiva, mentre incrocio una famiglia con quattro bambinette, tra le quali una mi guarda, forse si chiede cosa sto facendo, incrocio due ragazzi che approcciano una macchina automatica e forse vogliono comprare qualcosa, mentre incrocio due signori anziani, tra cui una donna che indossa delle collane, e nel frattempo mi chiedo se la gente mi guarda o non mi guarda. Nel frattempo incrocio una donna che sembra un po' una senza casa perché ha i capelli un po' appiccicati, e nel frattempo incrocio una donna con lo sguardo laterale, guarda per terra come fosse abbattuta, mentre nel frattempo mi superano una coppia di mezza età con un trolley a testa, con dei jeans, con delle decorazioni sul retro, mentre mi ritrovo a uscire in uno spazio esterno dove un giovane uomo con i pantaloni mimetici sembra voler parlare al telefono, mentre altri due giovani mi passano di fianco, mentre una donna col trolley mi passa di fianco. And I, again, hear somebody just pulling his trolley. Steps in my direction.
We both were looking at details like the gestures, the texture of a fabric, the wrinkles, the act or a look, connection between. Few things that catch my eye are the rhythm of people's bodies, the color of their clothes, lines in their shirts, different shapes of mouths, how they throw their head around, how they look around, how they stop, move forward, are an association of a smaller body, a friend of a family, helping someone out, engaged in a conversation, moving in a way that says something about their body, something of an expression, or engaged in a telephone call which tells that they are elsewhere. And just the question that they only look at the floor says that they're very deeply in this dialogue, which brings them far, far away from their sexual place and situation that they are.
Eating nails, nervous, two women running, red hair, glasses tight, pants high heels, clear color jeans.
But what I found interesting within the within when we met was the both this fear of the loop being observed and being an observer, then observing how others observe the space and how they maybe feel observed in the space or not observed.
Wat gaan ze rapen voor Grand Bruges au centre du site de vente à niveau 15 sur Robertine?
People look quickly, they look. There's a blink of what's around them. Most are in a moment of themselves, introvertedly waiting. A lot of them are like occupied by their telephones. There's two couples, differently close, sitting on the red seats. Don't seem to notice too much of what's around them. People are somehow semi there when they're in a train station. Part there. It's like a personal existence. Temporary personal existence. They can see that there are other things that are occupying the space. But finally it becomes a zone of their own where they can behave a certain awkward behaviors, such as roaming back and forth, circulating an area in an abnormal way. All the same, there are not, beside those awkwardness, there is some kind of a symmetry among the people. Wonder if we're all that normal, all that similar. No one seems so strange. Few people stick out.
Level of consciousness of that being public.
Yes, okay.
Definitely. And that's why I think in the station was very good for us to do the exercise, because we were mimetizing. Even if people would look at us, they would maybe just look at us in an unconscious way, not really realize. If you look at people, if they look you back, if you feel like they are really looking at you, or it's just
there
an unconscious
text
look.
Of Lacan on this, the text of the gaze, one of the lessons he did on the gaze.
On the what?
Lo sguardo, the gaze.
Okay.
And the fact that you interiorize the gaze of the other in yourself, you feel looked. So when you are in a public space, as you say, when you are walking in a place that is sensed to be public,
yeah.
You interiorize the gaze.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you feel observed, because probably you are observed, even if not consciously. Maybe there is nobody who is looking at you, but you feel that it can be, and interiorizing in yourself. Like if you are in the station, even if not conscious, you know that there can be a gaze on you. So you act differently than not in when you are at home.
Yeah.
You don't feel you have the gaze
mm-hmm.
of someone on you.
Yeah.
When you are in the public, even if you are just... Once you cross the door and you enter in the street, it's like if you were looking and being looked at the same moment. You know that you are looking at the same moment.
You look at yourself from what you think you're being looked at.
Exactly.
From. Yeah.
I think it's like a sort of like really stratified situation, and it's not just like everybody's totally conscious that other people are looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in, I think in this public situation you also see a lot of people, as we saw, very pensive, as you say, and they are like not really there, and they are Yeah, that they enter another state, so it's not anymore like this awareness. But for example, making the exercise of the station, I kept on thinking on that more. Like I was thinking, okay, I'm looking at everybody, it's so good to be here because I'm a spy and nobody realized that. But maybe there is somebody else spying on me. Maybe I'm looking just 2 meters away of me, but maybe somebody's spying at me in 30 meter distance. So I try to look at far away and see like at large distance if somebody was looking at me. And then of course I would notice very well as soon as somebody would really look at me. And then there was somebody which I thought maybe is also a time loser like me. Then I started to see where was he going, if he was also like observing or not.
So I feel sometimes like when you look at people for a really, really long while, they look normally back at you.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah, I also realized that today. That mostly every time I was looking at somebody, they would look at me. Except mostly if they were looking at the phone. But in most of other cases, they would look back. Mm-hmm. Even though mostly they wouldn't hold or worry about it. It would be just an unconscious reflection.
Do you think there is like a certain intimacy that people like don't look at each other from too much of closeness? Like I think, and I'm just wondering if there's like a... I feel though here that people are quite comfortable with looking at each other.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, today everybody does this.
Yeah.
The thing is that they just don't do it so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many times they don't really insist on the look.
Yeah.
It's just like a short thing. The exercise number 2, it's about stalking. Or better, it's about following somebody. Somebody which is stranger and which is picked more or less by chance. You follow this person. You enter in this person's velocity. And you go until you can. Until you are allowed or able to follow this person. While you go, while you follow this person, you enter in a certain mental state of wondering, of imagining it, of thinking, what is this person doing? Where is this person going? On the other hand, your body is also very physically involved. Velocity is adapted to the velocity of the person you are stalking.
We did it quite a few times. We started stalking from Miti, had a couple of like differently successful situation. The first interesting stalking happened when we were leaving Miti. We saw a tall man in kind of a light gray-green jacket, very, very tall, with a square backpack.
We picked the man on the surrounding area of Gare de Midi. He was a quite tall man. He had a green long raincoat, a black backpack, and long gray hair.
And it was the first stocking which had a great notion for me, because he ended up bringing us by foot, tailing behind him, quickly, swiftly, all the way up to Louise. We tailed him all the way up to Louise. What intrigued me was the fact that he walked us really, really, really far, but didn't take any of the metros that were available. He didn't take any shortcuts in his walk. And the further he brought us, the more intrigued I became by the situation. and more my imagination started spinning.
He was walking pretty fast, also because of the size of his legs. We walked behind him for about half an hour.
We are following him since about 15 minutes. We are walking very much. He walks fast actually. He is very tall and have long legs. We keep on following him, even though it might happen that suddenly he will be arrived home and we will be just closed out. No way to get in or anything. But we keep on following him.
There was a lot of distance between him, one of us, and then the second of us on the back. We kept on following him. While walking, I was almost thinking that in between us three there must have been something in common. That there must have been some thought in common. We must have been thinking at least at something in common. We were sort of unified in that time and space.
Did he know that we were there? I don't think so. But I had, I don't know, the feeling of a trace between us. But just by the line that we followed.
What might be thinking right now? In this precise time space, what might be thinking? Might there be some kind of connection between us?
We were like walking, remember, there was first him, 20 meters away or more you, and 20 meters away me, and I kind of felt us three being connected.
I was waiting for him to look back. In a way.
He never looked back.
After this first flavor of excitement and curiosity to find a conclusion and evidence or figure out like where were we going, where was he taking us, in a way, what was he doing actually, like why was he walking so far?
He's going very fast. He's going much faster than us. This activity brings me back to present time. But strangely enough, it connects me also to a certain feeling of the past. It's a way to move around. A way to approach spatial movement with the role of unpredictability. I think it's fascinating to put yourself in the steps of somebody else just by assuming his or her velocity as a consequence of the stalking action. Fascinating in the sense of bringing me near to somebody else's life, making me suddenly kind of intimate with another person. Belonging to another person in a certain way. He's crossing the street. I feel he's gonna step on a tram. If he does step on the tram, he's gonna disappear. Get out of our sight, get out of our lives.
we lost him at a certain point. I bet either he went straight and we didn't see that, or he went up on a tram.
Where did he go? He's gone. Maybe he took the tram down there. We lost him.
To share the long way, somebody has shared a long way, somebody has shared a long way, somebody has shared a long way.
Brings you to explore, brings you to walk,
brings you to walk,
brings you to walk,
brings you to walk,
brings you to
walk,
brings you to
walk. Continue following, and then he took us.
Yeah.
The more deeply I wanted to follow. It was really weird.
Totally. I also, I was like on the back and I was looking at you and I was really feeling feeling some really exciting of, sort of like of the absurdity of the situation, but the great strength of the situation.
It was really strange, like especially walking, and the further we got away, I was like so intrigued and I was like, where is he gonna bring us? Where? Like imagining all kinds of like, is he going to a conference, or like, why is he walking all this distance? He could take metro every corner here.
Exactly, I also thought he could take metro, and also he was going so fast. I think we really had the good luck to follow him, going so far away and going so fast and really big. And then you're just like, you're into that velocity, and then you have to stretch your own capacity, and you have to just, you get totally tired and exhausted after that, but you just into that and you can't stop anymore, and then you suddenly feel like, isn't that like, what are we actually doing? Yes, it is great that you don't really know what you're actually doing. Thing is like this action where you don't exactly know what you're, why you're doing it, or that
but I felt that I would like reach some kind of comprehension by like reaching the end, to find out, at least I'll find out what he's up to.
I was almost sure that we would suddenly be cut out of his life, like we would arrive somewhere and then he would just go up on a house and he would close the door and we would be finished. I was expecting that. Yeah, I didn't expect he could just disappear. That was a quite interesting thing, that he just disappeared.
It was too quick, and I was like, I think in the beginning, when we were running after him, I was like, wow, it's so strange. Like, we're walking, and we've been walking so long behind him, and he doesn't feel it. He doesn't notice it at all. I was like, sort of expecting him to be able to feel our presence and at least turn around or something. And I was like, wow, we're strolling in a line behind him. We can't even keep up in a duo, me and you.
I have to be more quick next time if we want to. So, already.
We have to abandon our number one.
Already we lost him. Next person. Yeah, there's a woman just in front of us.
She's checking at the phone.
And this first one, the one with the orange suit. Yeah, orange, I mean, jacket. And this was in the station. So we started to observe her and then to follow her. And at the end, we arrive at the train of her leaving.
Okay, so she was taking the train.
Yeah, leaving. So also, of course, we realized the station is probably not a good place to follow people.
Yeah, because after a while, you arrive at the end.
You're
of
like,
the...
okay, she's going to Berkel.
Or people that take a taxi, so...
But that would be to have like an open ticket where she can go anywhere.
Yeah, a Eurorail ticket.
Yeah, exactly. With that kind of ticket, you can really do European stuff. Yeah. If not global.
This woman, we realized she was a bit out of play. I mean, she was thinking a lot and she wasn't feeling well. That's true. Or
but
what?
Then I think after that we were more like wondering. I was always wondering about the end. We
just to like follow them all the way until the point where we can reach no further his destination, or until. Or like I think after some time we have to figure out a key, which will lead us to the next person, like some kind of an element of limit. Yeah, or like there's the limit to the extent where we can no further, like follow the people.
Immediately, everything changed aspect. You are not like focusing on the whole system, but you are focusing on one, and this makes things become so filmic. For me, it was like so totally cinema start suddenly, because you have a protagonist in the story.
Yeah,
you look at that one face, doesn't matter whatever happened around. Around becomes unfocused, you have that one face.
It's like a film we are in, you know, and she's the protagonist. Just by walking at the same velocity of somebody else, you are dragged, you are pushed into the intimacy of somebody which previously was a total stranger. There is something happening in this parallelity of unknown people. Something happening in the anonymity within the mass. You get suddenly pushed into a story. You are suddenly pushed to wonder. Wonder who is that person and where does he go? It's not anymore random. It's another type of exercise.
I was so excited because I really felt that this feeling of occupying my time with something apparently senseless. Like with an apparent senseless task. But then where the process was so interesting, and also, yeah, I just felt so privileged to do this. Like, I really felt privileged, even if on the other hand I felt like this would be the perfect job for a time loser, somebody having really nothing to do and just like whatever, a homeless person who wants to keep busy. But on the other hand, yeah, I really felt the privilege of the artist, which can occupy his time with apparently senseless tasks.
It was very strange to realize. I think it's like first time that I'm like stalking people or something like that. I've thought about it often. But then I realized just to feel in yourself that you get more and more excited about understanding where they are going. Like, where is he going to bring us? What is his end? Like, where does he come from? Like, what is his mission? And you always think you're on some kind of a particular mission.
But the one thing we also realized that actually stalking is like a sport. It's a kind of sport. Could be a new sport. Because the good thing is that you can choose the level. You can, if you wanna, yeah, because it makes you walk a lot. And if you wanna walk fast, you just choose somebody very tall with long legs. Or going fast. And if you wanna have a slower level, like a not too high, you just choose a small person or somebody really like rocking around. Exactly, yes. And it's also a good activity if you don't have anything to do, because then you have a goal.
But
and
I was also thinking that stalking like that and thinking what people are doing or what they can do, it's like you have to report all the time to what you know, in the sense that you cannot, when you talk with someone, you can learn new things because that person can give you some information.
Our work is doing our problems.
Yeah, but when you are just observing someone without ever a real like a contact, you can just imagine through what you already know.
Yes.
So in a way, it's like you are just apply something that you know on that person.
It's like mirroring yourself.
Yeah. In a way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah,
you're dressing that people.
You can always abandon a situation.
Yeah, of course, until everybody can demonstrate we're doing anything bad.
But
we're actually almost like an angel service. Yeah, we're like taking care of other people
really?
In an extra way.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, look, what are we dedicating our time to? I mean, who does that? Everybody's just going home, having dinner, and coming back from work where they made money. What are we doing now? We are dedicating our time to people, mostly.
But I'm thinking,
taking care of the useless stuff.
I'm just kind of trying to think more in the framework of, like, where are the limits? Do we not mind if people already realize? Are we like ready?
I wouldn't mind. I think it would be even interesting.
The exercise number 3 is an exercise of classification, in which we both sit in a fixed place. We decide an area where we look at, and we analyze the people passing by noting categories. Category through which we can classify those people. It's an exercise which is not completely defined from the beginning. While doing it, we have discovered how it worked. The process was that from the beginning we didn't have any categories, but by looking at those people we decided categories. And by putting people into those categories, there were under category automatically created. Then we could create list of people which would fit to those categories or under categories. When we did the exercise number 3, we were sitting at Place Fontana. Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there about half an hour, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And the idea was just to write down, to make like a really like a statistic classification. So we were with our books, but of course we didn't have pre-made categories. But the idea was that while we would watch, we would establish categories.
Okay.
So for example, I made these categories, and while establishing my categories, I also established under categories.
Okay. And so then what category is coming from the empiric observation?
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
first you observe, and then you start to see that you are focusing on something, so that can become a category.
Was yeah, exactly. Was not so clear what, but the point was exactly that, to find out what would interest us. So kind of spontaneously create categories.
Where are we sitting?
I think we're sitting somewhere here, like. This is the pathway. Maybe this is the street down here.
I started to create categories as the following. Decorated woman. Time loser. Maybe date. Looking back. Rushing. Time loser was a category indicating other type of people which seem to not have anything to do at the moment, or being really sort of passing their time. Under category were like people sitting like on a bench or people walking very slow. There was a similar category which was a category of people waiting.
And this is a guy that was smoking?
Yeah, sitting. For me he was a loser. Or no, not a loser, he was a time loser. He was... He was one of the time losers, because it didn't seem like he had anything to do. He was just sitting on the bench, smoking and passing time.
He was really pensive.
I have been noting categories related to how people would group during their walk. I noted that younger male would move around often in group of two, whether younger female would move around more often in group of three, even though I immediately realized I would have better needed to create much more category and observe what would happen to older men and older female.
Making this work, then you realize you could have so much categories, then you would like to have all the ages, and okay, for older men you have the 2, the 3, for younger you have the 2, the 3, for boys, girls, yeah. Like it creates so much categories.
I did like kind of 2 classification. First I was just trying to figure out, then I was like instant body, casual hippie look, hot sandwich eater, and then I went into walking.
Oh, like, the sandwich?
Eater.
Ah, okay.
Then tight walker, fast walker, swaying walker, handicapped walker, casual movement, observative walker, slow. And then I went just into like all the hand postures of people.
And I was, first I did like one hand swinging, and then I was like, oh no, that's too simple. Both hands in a pocket, two hand swinging. One hand swinging, one still, both occupied. Occupied and swinging, free and immobile. I don't know, and it was like...
Occupied and swinging is like if you have...
Like this, like, yeah, okay.
Bags or,
yeah, you have
or something in it. Okay.
And I think, like, the different point that came for me, but probably the same, is that I started to, like, at some point after observing this, I started to, like, see the whole crowd, but just by the movement of their hands. By the, like, three people swinging an arm, one holding fast, and it became, like, sort of a rhythm of the, like, kind of arithmetic... movement of the crowd.
It was a very interesting process to realize this whole idea. So, like, how do you formalize your observation? How you create categories? What are the interests coming to you? How it keeps on established categories? And also, like, I think in as a state was very interesting. I think for both of us, with staying there, this moment was. Becoming very intense.
Mm-hmm. That it's really completely opposite of the stalking, because if in the stalking you're just projecting yourself, here you are
projecting yourself as well.
Yeah, yourself, but observing. So maybe you find a new way to observe because you recognize something that you never thought about. In the sense that maybe you never reflect on the thing that the girls they can say in the group of three. And now that you told that, it's true. I met more group of three of girls that that guy or there you for sure you use the same word that you know. Yeah, but you can you can just learn. Or just put something that you never reflect before, and you're just realizing in that moment. And in a way, it's a new, it's something new that you can learn, or can you observe? It's like going out and say, "Yeah, wow, okay," because I'm observing, and so I'm learning in a way.
They're all finally quite very different, like these approaches. Very pretty white black man. Tall, clear skin, looked very securely, well shirt, like light brown, very like confident, fair black man, like a white black, not really dark, but not white.
I remember one woman, really masculine, pair of jeans, t-shirt and a pullover, kind of black, with a hood, and she had one hand, the right hand in the pocket, and the other one was free. She was walking quite fast, was moving quite fast, following the same rhythm of the legs, back and forth. Pretty secure and quite essential. She didn't have that much.
Couple, one holding a drink with both hands, the other one holding like a book.
Somebody slow and looking at the floor.
Only looking at the floor.
Black lady. Neck short hair, a bit reddish, looking toward her back. She would be checking if somebody was there or somebody would follow her. Three people, two men and one woman. She had a really red dress, really red, very tight on her body, smiling very much. They were all pretty happy, all smiling.
Two elderly women walking together, lower middle class, eating.
The woman with this strange hand. Like this, you know, in the air.
Two Marocans that had like hot sandwiches wrapped in aluminium.
And then there was a guy eating from two cups in the same time. Two glasses. Actually, I have a picture of him.
Thank you.
Questo colloquio è stato realizzato in conversazione tra Anna Hildebrand e Saga Asgerdotti e Francesca Chiacchio e Michela Sacchetto per Radio Onda d'Urto.